The Hoop Collective is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. If you're looking for world-class soccer, ESPN Plus is where to find it. The best teams, the biggest stars, and over 20 international leagues and tournaments. La Liga, Bundesliga, MLS, FA Cup, Copa del Rey, and more. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. To the Hoop Collective podcast, we talk about the NBA. It is almost 1 a.m. on Friday morning, and the Milwaukee Bucks have just taken a 3-2 lead, one game away from setting up a Bucks-Suns final. Joining us from Dallas, Texas, where it's still Thursday, is Band McMahon.
Howdy, partners.
Joining us from the Fiserv Forum, where he is covering the Eastern Conference Finals, is Tim Bontemps. Where in the Fiserv Forum are you at this moment?
I am sitting in a suite next to a picture of Oscar Robertson, who was on the Bucks the last time the Bucks made the NBA Finals. Or I shouldn't say that. The last time they won a championship 50 years ago this year.
As was Lou Alcindor at the time. And this, by Brook Lopez, might have been the best Bucks big man performance in the playoffs since Lou and then Kareem's reign.
I'd have to research that to verify that, but
Bontemps is gonna stick up for Bob Lanier.
That is correct. Bonnie. That is correct.
But I looked it up. Bob Lanier never scored 33 for the Bucks in a playoff game. He did for the Pistons, not the Bucks.
Brook Lopez looked like Bob Lanier tonight.
Brook Lopez looked like what? What would you say? Like 2011 Brook Lopez?
He looked like 2012-13 Brook Lopez when I covered the Brooklyn Nets. And Brook Lopez was known as being a masher in the low post as opposed to the three-point flow spacer that he has become in recent years.
He looked like 2002 Shaq.
Well, the Bucks seem to realize today for the first time in a while, especially the first time since Game 3, that they are enormous and far bigger than their opponents and proceeded to beat them into the ground like a varsity team playing a junior varsity team.
Yeah, so the Bucks just got – I mean, without Giannis, obviously, they needed guys to step up. And they just got an incredible all-around game. I mean, like – Drew Holiday played terrific, especially defensively. Bobby Portis, who is becoming a hero, or is he already a hero in Milwaukee? They love him because he plays hard. But you know, he
as a actually, scout put it today, he also shot 8,000% on open threes this year for the Bucks, and certainly has endeared himself to the fans for that reason too.
Well, you know, he took 20 shots in this game tonight. I can't imagine they ever envisioned him taking 20 shots when they signed him last summer.
Or he probably envisioned himself doing it, though.
You know, Bobby definitely envisioned it. The story of this game is Bobby Portis completely dominated John Collins. Like, you want to sum this game up in a nutshell? Forget Brook Lopez and everything else. I mean, John Collins ended up with 19-8. It was pretty invisible, and most of it was in garbage time. I mean, Bobby Portis completely outplayed him. You know, that sums up this game from soup to nuts.
I mean, you know, just listen to these numbers. Bobby Portis, 22 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. How about 3 assists? 3 steals, all right? Brook Lopez, 33 points on 14 of 18 shooting, 7 rebounds. Chris Middleton, 26 points, 13 rebounds, 8 assists. Drew Holiday, 25 points, 13 assists, 6 rebounds. That's just awesome basketball. And, you know, the Bucks, you mentioned about being in the paint. They shot 24 of 28 in the paint in game 2, which is as good as I've ever seen in a playoff game. They were 33 of 50 in the paint in this game without Giannis.
Not a great night for Clint Capella's case as a top 5 center in the league.
No.
Yeah, he only played 20 minutes and it didn't go well.
He got railroaded in this game. I mean, look, the Bucks had 44 points in the paint in game 4 when they came out and insanely shot 14 three-pointers and 21 shot attempts in the first quarter and, again, forgot the fact that they are enormous and should be just pummeling.
How does that happen?
Paint.
We're in the Eastern Conference
Finals.
Don't
even get me started. This team never does the things that it should. It's just it's a constantly
– Is that – I mean,
it's the reason it's such an all-over team.
I have to assume that Mike Budenholzer – is this is not deep level analysis. shoot, attack the rim. And it's, by the way, it's not like the Hawks played a tight 2-1-2 zone. You know, no. But I mean, I don't think they're doing anything to dissuade paint attacks. I mean, they're trying to defend it, but
I mean, look, the Bucks got over 60 points in the paint, or averaged over 60 points in the paint in games 1, 2, and 3. They had 44 points in the paint in game 4. They come out tonight, they had 28 points in the paint in the first quarter.
Wild.
28 points in the paint with Giannis first quarter. Sweats. With Giannis watching on the bench, and they had 44 points in the paint in the first half, the same number they had all of game 4. So yes, I think the Bucks very clearly remembered that they are huge and they have a center who used to be a guy who averaged 20 points a game and shot incredibly efficiently all within 5 feet of the rim. And they said, all right, we're going to smash these guys into the goal. And they did that over and over and over again. And while the Hawks got back in the game because the Bucks did their usual thing where they messed around and kept it more interesting than they should have, ultimately that size advantage was too much. And whether Trae Young comes back in game 6 or not, if they don't fix that in game 6, the series is going to end on Saturday.
They may not have to fix it because they may not shoot in the paint in game 6.
Well, Brooke Lopez was also walking to the rim for dunks. I mean, they were giving up just ridiculously easy shots. I mean, the Bucks are bigger than them, but some of this was also just the Hawks were just completely demolished in the first quarter.
Is crazy how you see games at this level, because the Bucks came out in game 4 kind of in a daze. I mean, look, sometimes you miss shots, but it is amazing to watch. And it's not just this series. I mean, it's been happening for the almost 20 years I've covered the NBA. It's wild how often in playoff games, teams start flat.
In the first quarter of game 4, the Hawks got out to a 10-2 run and led the game. Within the first 3 minutes, the Bucks called timeout. Tonight in game 5, the Bucks got out to a 10-2 run in the first 3 minutes of the game, and the Hawks called timeout. It was the same game in reverse. That's the way it goes sometimes.
Game 4, I thought the Bucks were going to win that before Giannis got hurt because he was starting to take over the game.
They were dominating in the third quarter before Giannis.
Yeah, and then he got hurt and all the air went out of the balloon.
Well, we'll see that Giannis knee injury. I mean, first off, the fact that there was no torn ligaments, no sprained ligaments, if we're to believe.
Very fortunate.
That's amazing.
Well, I mean, thank goodness it went straight back, as painful as I'm sure it was, instead of any kind of side to side.
In the arena and being in the arena the other night and hearing Giannis yell when he went down, I was thinking the worst, as were everybody else sitting there.
I mean,
it was scary.
I don't think any of us are real optimistic about seeing him again in this series, much less in the playoffs. I think is very iffy at best, but at least it's not something that's going to be a surgery going in the next year type of deal.
Well, yeah, that was all I was thinking about when he went down, was just, let's not have this guy miss all of next season. So
yeah,
I was happy to hear the news. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, yes. That's like the night that, can you answer that phone in the suite? There may be.
Sorry,
that wasn't me.
This is my teenage daughter who's on vacation with her mom and is just now calling me back today.
Oh, that's had a great time. I thought it was time to order dessert in the suite. The night Durant went down, a lot of people were like, well, yeah, he's out for the series. I mean, a lot of people were like, yeah, he's out for the series. I'm like, the series, dudes, he tore his Achilles. We're not going to see him for a year, year.
Right.
And so and by the way, he may never be the same again. Now, luckily he has been, he's recovered amazingly, but I'm thinking about Giannis, like, oh man, like, we're in July. I mean, he's maybe gone for next year, and who knows, like, his recovery. I was like, just really, it was really sad. So the fact that, like, if you're the Bucks, you're saying, can we please somehow get him back out there? Because we're right here. We're 5 games away. You don't want to, you don't want to lose this great opportunity. But at the same time, I was afraid that this was going to be a career-altering moment. So when that came back, no structural, man, like, if he's out the rest of the playoffs, I'm like, okay. I mean, it's a bitter, upset thing, but it's
Certainly better than the alternative.
Ahead.
It's certainly better. It's certainly better than the alternative. And look, he's, you know, who knows? If they can get through this series, you know, I think there's a chance he could come back at some point. You know, who knows? They haven't really said. I mean, the fact that he was doubtful for game five certainly gives me some optimism that this isn't a extremely long term thing, right? Like if he was just out, you would think he'd be out. So you can at least hope for, if you're a Bucks fan, you can at least hope for a near term recovery. And again, like I said, the other night when he went down, I was thinking the same thing as you, and everybody in that arena was like, even, you know, obviously that's an arena full of Hawks fans, and the whole place, you couldn't hear a pin drop while he was on the ground. Like everybody, I think, just real, especially with the amount of injuries that we've had in these playoffs and to a lot of big game players, I think that was a moment where everybody was kind of like, man, really? Like, is this going to happen again? Yeah. And for him to get up, you know, like Nate McMillan said after that game, I thought it was pretty classy how the fans in Atlanta handled that. And like you said, Brian, I was very relieved that the news came back the way it did. And, you know, see him sitting there in street clothes tonight watching his team rampage around, it makes you think if they can find a way to get through this series and get to the Suns in the finals, you know, we'll see if he can make a return at some point.
Yeah. So Trae Young, I mean, there was some, I saw some people bemoaning that Trae Young, the other night, I thought, well, it was a ankle turn, you know, he probably could play through it, but then it came back bone bruise, not turned ankle, bone bruise. And, you know,
well, he's got a sprained ankle and a bone bruise, just to be clear.
Right. Right. But the bone bruise is the problem.
Right.
And I don't have the exploits, the athletic exploits like McMahon does. But when I was a teenager, I was a catcher on a baseball team, and I got a bone bruise in my ankle when there was a play at the plate. And that, I mean, not that I'm comparing myself to Trae Young, just to be clear, but that thing was vicious for a couple of months. So when I hear bone bruise, I think people are like, oh, just a bone bruise, no big deal. And then, you know, there's obviously varying degrees, but I assure you, this was a vital game. 2-2 game fives are where careers are made, quite frankly.
Well,
And for him not to be able to play, he's obviously very I think there was some footage tonight that TNT showed of him doing some.
Yeah, I was watching him. He was out here shooting before the game. He got some threes and floaters up.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
I mean, I thought he was moving okay, but you know, ultimately it comes down to you know, sort of the same decision as game four. They got him through 48 hours of rehab and treatment, and he went out there and tested it, and he didn't feel comfortable on it, and so he didn't play. And it's the same thing tonight in game five. And I think the hope was, hey, let's see if we can get another win, steal another win without Trae, and have him ready to go, hopefully, in game six in Atlanta and try to close this thing out. And I, you know, I think, you know, Nate McMillan said he expects him to be a game time decision again, and I expect this to kind of be a similar thing. But, you know, I think, you know, I think there's at least a chance that he'll play in game six. And, you know, certainly it would be a welcome boost for Atlanta if they could get him back out on their home court to try to keep their season alive.
McMahon, yeah. Who's a deeper team, Atlanta or Milwaukee?
Well, that's a good question. They both got a star and a key guy out right now. Geez.
I mean, I think it's Atlanta.
I think it's Atlanta, well, too. You
and
know.
So, you know, if this is I was talking to Bontemps the other night, if this was a chess match, and I don't know chess well enough. I don't know if would Giannis be the queen and Trae be the king. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. Just do it this way. Of the remaining players in the series, you're taking, in my opinion, Chris Middleton and Jrue Holiday first and second in some order. So
tonight, and then Brooke was right there.
Right. Yeah. So and Brooke is up there somewhere, high on the list too.
But what I'm saying is if you're looking at this on a balance sheet.
Well, but
one team loses Trae and one team loses Giannis, I sort of think it's advantage Hawks. But that's not what happened tonight.
Well, what I'm saying is at the end of the day, the Bucks have the two best players left in the series.
That's a good point.
This series remains on the Bucks bracket. And if they lose this series, even without Giannis, they should be embarrassed
now they've got a 3-2 lead with home court.
Just look at this game today, except for the game where they decided all they were going to do was shoot threes for 48 minutes. this team has walked to the rim every second of the series. They should have dominated the series from the beginning. And other than, like I said, the end of game one, what they completely disappeared. And in game four, they just did insane things before Giannis got hurt. And then they got snowed under in that run right after that. But they have largely controlled the series, and they've done so because they just physically are much more, they're just overwhelming the Hawks. And again, if they can just stick to that, at least in one of these next two games, they should be in the NBA finals, whether they have Giannis back or not.
Yeah. Well,
and whether Trey's back or not, because those physical advantages aren't going anywhere.
I don't know.
True, but Trey can shoot you to a win.
Listen, yeah, Trey. I'm not saying the Hawks are incapable. They're obviously capable. They've gotten this far. I mean, they've got through the Sixers, right? They've got through. I mean, they've had a terrific playoff run. I'm not saying that to diminish the Hawks, but the Bucks are the better team, and they should win this series. That's true. One out of a two, including a home game. And if they don't win it, it's on them. It's not because Atlanta will do things well if they win these next two games, but that's going to be a loss for the Bucks more than it is a win for the Hawks, in my opinion. Because the Bucks win this series.
And Trey, look, if this is a regular season, he's probably missing at least a couple weeks, right? So he's trying to come back day to day when it's probably a multi-week type of injury.
Yeah, hard to know.
So you say, well, how well is he going to be able to play on one wheel? But then you say, well, Donovan Mitchell just averaged whatever 30 some odd points, for two series on one wheel, basically.
Yeah, listen, and Trae Young's really good. The Hawks have a good supporting cast. Bogdan Bogdanovich mm-hmm. has been really good the past couple of games. That's been a big step for them. They've got a good collection of players. Cam Reddish has come back and he's done some stuff. Kevin Herter didn't make shots.
The other piece of the Luka Trey deal.
That's right. He was the and first round pick in that trade. So look, the Hawks definitely are talented, but like I said, if you just take the guys remaining in the series as of this moment with Trey and Giannis out, the Bucks have the best two players. If a team has the best two players in a series, how often should they lose the series? Basically never, right? So
your
they better
point
win
is-
the series.
Yeah, your point is well taken, especially at this point, because they did play so well and they had a game plan that worked. And, they have two games to win one to make the finals for the first time since Kareem demanded a trade. It's funny. Kareem is a sidelight potentially in a Bucks-Suns finals because, it's way back there. You're kind of forcing the storyline. But, part of the Suns' history, 1969, their second year. They're tied with Milwaukee for the worst record, so they're going to flip a coin to see who is going to get the number one pick and Lew Alcindor. Lew Alcindor was, everybody knew this guy was going to be a superstar, instantaneous changer, LeBron James, Shaquille O'Neal type stuff. And had even a faster impact, frankly, than LeBron and Shaq. Shaq was pretty influential.
He was 4 years at UCLA.
Yeah, he was. He came in right. He came in and was one of the best players the moment he stopped on the court and in the whole league.
Exactly.
So they had a coin flip, and the coin flip was over the phone. There's actually footage that exists of Jerry Colangelo and the head coach of the Suns at the time, and I can't remember who it was now, but very young Jerry Colangelo listening to the coin flip over the phone. Walter Kennedy is the NBA commissioner. And they had a contest in Phoenix. Should they call heads or tails? Somehow they got to make the call like before. And, there was some vote and it came out 51% heads, 49% tails. So they voted heads and they flipped the coin. And Jerry's just listening on the phone. I mean, people talk about the frozen envelope. I mean,
yeah, well, could you imagine the conspiracy theories now? If this thing wasn't on video.
Geez. I mean, maybe there wasn't even a coin. And he flips the coin. J. Walter Kennedy catches it. It's heads. But as is the tradition, you flip it over onto the back of your hand. Like we used to do as kids or whatever. And so it comes up tails, Bucks.
And the Bucks get one of the five best players of all time.
Yeah. And they win a championship, 2 years later?
Yep. Get Oscar Robertson, another all-time great player, and 2 years later they won a title.
Yeah, I saw this in your story, Wendy. I had never heard of the guy the Suns drafted, I must admit.
Neil Walk, number two pick.
Yeah, didn't have a terrible career. Averaged 12.6 points, 7.7 rebounds in over 8 years. A respectable pro career.
The other guy has the all-time leading scorer in the history of the game.
Right.
You know, we just had the lottery last week. But, you know, this is everything. You know, the pick is everything when you have a player like that. It was the case in the 60s. It's the case in the 20s. They won a title, then they went back to the finals and lost, I think, in seven games to the Celtics. They lost in seven games.
Yes.
Kareem asks to be traded, and that's it. They haven't been back since.
Took them 40 years to get another player anywhere in the same ballpark as Kareem, and they've had some very good teams. They've had some very good teams.
But guys have been forcing their way to the Lakers for generations, superstars.
They had Marquise Johnson, right?
Sidney Moncrief. They had those teams in the great teams of the 80s with Lanier and Sidney Moncrief and Junior Bridgman, and they had the Ray Allen, Glenn Robinson.
Michael
Redd teams, and they've had some really good teams. They won a lot of games here, but you don't get top five players in the league. Like, you get them. There's a reason there's only a handful of them in the league, right? You only get them, unless you're the Lakers, basically, a handful of times. Ever. Right,
which is why when you trade a guy like James Harden, you have to say to yourself, we may not have a guy like this for 25 years. I mean,
or 40.
Right. Or 50. 40 is a little extreme, but, you know. They had Elijah Wan.
We're talking about one of the five best players in the NBA on your team at one time. And often there's a couple of them. There's been plenty of times and a couple of them been on one team.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
Right?
As a quick side note, since we're talking about Bucks greats, if you follow this guy on Twitter, you will know he's just the king of would you call him the meme king? Is that even meme? He Josiah Johnson. It's Marquise Johnson's son. How about that?
Bucks royalty.
105 a.m. About 105 a.m. I have a very important question.
Okay.
Why do people not clown Lil Wayne for how he switches teams like the wind blows?
Well, he's getting clowned for his hair.
Can you inform me on Lil Wayne's team switching? I did not know he was before right now, honestly.
You could say that Chris Paul and him go all the way back to New Orleans when CP3 was just getting started. But Chris Paul just clinches his first finals berth, and he's hugging this long haired human being on the court.
You see someone with long blonde hair from the back.
Yeah,
you don't know who it is, and it's a short person. You know, it looked like a woman. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, and we just lost Bontemps, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on. So we can pick back up with Little Weezy.
He said his computer.
Sorry, my computer died. My computer died. I'll be right back. I was trying to quietly plug it in. Ran out of time. LOL. I read all Bon Temp's texts in my Bon Temp / butthead voice.
He is very. He is very imitatable.
He is. He butt faced me the other day.
What does that mean?
I mean, he FaceTimed me, you know, a pocket FaceTime dial, a butt face.
Oh, okay.
And I told him that I was not very happy to get a face butt. I wasn't happy to get a face butt from a butt face.
Hello. Sorry about that.
All right.
You back? Can we pick up a little Wheezy?
I think my computer was. I heard you talking when my thing cut out. So yeah, I think we could start there.
Yeah, so little Wheezy, you know, bust through the. I guess he's sitting court, so I bust out on the court, hugging CP3 right after CP3 clinches first finals berth. A touching moment. When he came out there, I'm watching at home with my fiance. All she sees is this huge mane of blonde hair, you know, hugging on Chris Paul. You know, looked like an elderly person. And she goes, oh, how cute! Chris Paul's got his mom. By the way,
he's like waving and smiling at his family up in the suite. It wasn't unrealistic to think that so they came down.
Yeah, no. I was like, no, that's not his mom. That's Lil Wheezy.
I'll give him a semi-pass because he was really there as a Chris Paul fan, not a Suns fan.
Yeah, but going back to the Big Easy way back when, but yeah.
I know, but I've seen him rooting for and against a lot of different
teams. Well, how about Chris Paul just like storming into the fans stands repeatedly? You know, he was just, I mean, I know he just immediately was in the COVID protocols, but like everybody else was like within the ropes on the court and he's just running into the stands, running back out, running into the stands, running back out. I was like, what is going on right now?
The protocols were dropped.
By the way, Chris Paul, the who was picked the last time he was in the draft class, the last time the Bucks had the number one overall pick.
Look at you.
Way back in the Andrew Bogut days.
Yeah. So I don't have an answer to this. And it's a weird thing to, I'm going to be honest with you. It's a weird thing to try to get an answer on. So I just really didn't, chase it. And maybe there's a really, really good explainable answer, you know, but this was obviously the biggest moment in Chris Paul's career. Okay. And we knew going into the game that it was potentially one of the biggest moments in his career. He didn't know he was going to have one of the greatest halves of scoring in the history of the Western Conference Finals because he had 31 in the second half. But do you guys find it
going?
Do you guys find it a little bit interesting that two other members of the Banana Boat crew
were down the street?
It was very interesting. They were at the Sparks game instead of at Staples Center. I did find that very interesting.
Yeah, and obviously, hey, all four supporting the WNBA, but you know, game six of the West Finals, Paul's got a chance to finally punch his ticket to the finals. Like one of your best friends, I raised my eyebrow and wondered about that.
Yeah, that's no criticism of the WNBA at all. They could have been at a movie. And it would have been the same thing. It's that, like, well, I was in.
I mean, they could have had 15,000 things that they were doing, but they were literally in downtown
that's what I'm saying. I was at the final game of Dwayne Wade's retirement tour in Brooklyn, and I think Chris Paul was there, and definitely LeBron and Carmelo were there, and. Like you said, I immediately was like, wait a minute, they were at the Sparks Aces game last night instead of at game six.
Clear, like it's literally the next building over. It's literally the next building over.
Yeah,
maybe they couldn't get tickets.
LeBron does have trouble getting tickets at Staples Center.
Yeah,
that's true. I don't know. I wish I could give you some sort of insight. I don't have.
See if they'll be at any finals games.
You know. Yeah, I mean, look, and by the way, they were still there. I mean, for all I know, they came over and saw him and celebrated afterwards. Well,
it's especially amusing since LeBron has been live tweeting the NBA playoffs from home. he's been tweeting about all these games and everything that's been going on. So made it all the more interesting from my end.
Well, I mean, little Wheezy made it in. You know, I mean, like
maybe Lil Weezy's gonna get. Maybe there's a new Banana Boat crew starring Chris Paul and Lil Weezy, and find a couple more people. And there's a new Banana Boat.
I don't mean to say.
Don't let Lil Weezy steer.
I don't mean to say like I thought LeBron would come onto the floor. That's not how he rolls. And you know, I'm sure he communicated with him after the game. But the Suns hightailed it out of there. They were back in Phoenix going, there was a parade in the middle of the night at Phoenix Airport when they landed. The players were going down in between fans, going out of their sunroofs. Like they
did the same thing, I think, after the conference semifinals against Denver too, if I remember right. I think so.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. The Suns are having this amazing run that was not, the fans there didn't expect it. I mean, they were just hoping they would somehow claw into the playoffs for the first time in a decade.
Right.
So I can relate to this. I'm a big Ohio State football fan. And when they won the
National... That's the underdogs, huh?
Well, yeah, right. They have nothing ever go their way. But when they won the national title in, I think, 15, the last time they won it, their first string quarterback got hurt in the preseason. Their second string quarterback got hurt in the middle of the Michigan game. And they go to a third string quarterback who
Cardale Jones,
you know, we barely knew was on the roster. And not only was the run incredible, they pulled off a couple of, they pulled off a huge upset of Alabama, but we did not, as a fan base, we did not expect it. It was just, and so, I mean, obviously they were a good team, but the joy of having unexpected success like that, you know, if you're a Warriors fan, you're not going to be as excited in 2018 as you were in 2014. It's not going to be the same. So I mean, there's some people who have said, oh, well, the Suns, you know, act like you've been there before. No, don't act like you've been there before.
But they have. Enjoy it. And also they're absolutely demolishing everybody in their path. And you can talk about their, you know, run across teams with these injuries and that, whatever. What Chris Paul did last night, like that was historic stuff, you know, especially considering his career arc, and to do it, you know, in the Staples Center, 41 points, no turnovers, just absolutely dominant.
His nemesis Patrick Beverly getting ejected for two hands shoving him in the back insanely with 4 minutes to go.
By the way, I wrote about the game last night, and I was in on all the Suns post game interviews. Nobody asked Chris Paul about Beverly.
Really?
He was so in the moment. And by the way, like, I there's a bunch of people asking questions. Not everybody got to ask, so I'm not indicting everybody, but Chris Paul was so euphoric, and midway through the interview, Devin Booker came and set the trophy down next to him. It's the first, you know, of any kind Chris has won.
Well, you know what? Honestly, good. Because that was such a goon move by Patrick Beverly to do that. I don't know. I'm almost glad it didn't get brought up. Like, it was just such an absurd thing to do. Like, it's, you know,
there's no place for that. Is that Beverly and Chris Paul use some of the, not the same tactics, but they're both guilty of
they're both
professional.
No, go ahead.
They're professional pisser offers. That's what they are.
But
Chris Paul's just a ridiculously skilled professional pisser offer.
Right. That was just such, you don't hit somebody in the back, frankly.
Yeah, it was bottom line. And it, look, that was it was an admission of utter humiliation.
You're right.
Because he had Chris Paul scored 31 in the second half. He's out there, you know, going, you know, gnashing, as they call it, going underneath the hoop, behind his back, and just knocking down jumpers, 7 of 8 from three, you know, getting whatever pull-up he wanted. Poor Boogie Cousins, like,
it took him a minute to figure out, you know, they brought the zone in game 5, and it just, the Suns weren't ready for it. They were ready for it in game 6. I'll tell you what, the Suns are really, really, really well coached.
Yeah, and look, Chris was rusty when he came back from COVID. Like, he shot terribly for a couple games, and then he more than made up for it in game 6.
Well, I have to say, you know, as going into game six, I'm sitting there saying, you know, the Clippers have really kind of been the better team after game one. You know, they lost game two on that miraculous play, the Clippers. They were right in it in game four, down to the last 10 seconds. The Suns, one of the Suns' greatest weapons that they have is their free throw shooting. They've won 12 consecutive games dating back to the regular season. 12 consecutive games they have won that have been decided by 5 points or less. And I looked at the numbers trying to figure out how they do that. I was like, do they shoot much better? Like, are they holding the opponents to a lot lower percentage? Then no, actually they shoot worse than their opponents in clutch time in those wins, in those 12 wins, in the wins, not just all season, in the wins. They're shooting less than their opponents. So I was like, well, maybe they just don't turn the ball over. And you know what executives were talking to me about today? More than one that I talked to.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, but nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Chris Paul, what's going to happen if/when Chris Paul opts out of that contract?
Yeah, He's
so good this year.
He's going to get a lot of money to sign somewhere, whether it's to re-sign with the Suns or go somewhere else.
Yeah, does he want to go to New York? I mean, but look, you know what, though? Let's let the Suns play the finals. I think we can hold off until after that to speculate on Chris Paul's next destination. Right,
I think the point is the guy looks like he's got a lot left in the tank.
Oh, yeah. No, he's going to get a huge contract. Like, he ain't, you know, he'll opt out probably of 44 mil and not take much of a haircut in the first year and get 2 years added on to it.
Yeah. I mean, that is a discussion for later for sure. But, the people who live in the world of the NBA, that's what they're talking about today.
Right, right.
because they're like, now what's going to happen here? And
it's all coming up Chris Paul right now.
But yeah. I think we can let Chris Paul bask in the glory of one of the great all-time point guard playoff performances in storyline fashion and get ready for the finals.
I called it. I couldn't call it the most improbable. I didn't have the research to back, but I called it one of the most improbable runs to the finals in league history.
Yeah, look, he had already obviously established himself as a no-brainer Hall of Famer, but you know he's putting the finishing touches on a legendary resume and still has a lot of juice left in the tank. Do you put juice in a tank?
Sure, yes, yeah, it's not going to run that well, but yeah. So, and they're going to get some time off and let Devin Booker's nose heal, and Chris Paul get stronger, and everybody gets some rest. You know, one of the things I was talking to a guy who knows the Suns really, really well. I'll just say who it is. David Kevin, you should follow him on Twitter. The four-point play. The four is a Roman numeral. This guy has probably watched more Suns basketball than maybe anybody but Robert Sarver in the last decade. And he lives in Australia, and he watches the games in the middle of the night. And he does a lot of analysis on them. And he, you know, did analysis on them when they were winning 22 games. You know, he's not Johnny Come Lately like a lot of people are. And he was just saying, you know, that Ayton, you know, somehow, you know, Ayton sometimes gets tired. And when he gets tired, he's just, you know, like anybody, his execution goes down. Because I thought Ayton in the last couple of games just didn't look quite right. And so even though he's not injured and, you know, is still pretty young, Ayton's never had a run like this before. So, you know, this isn't just going to charge the guys who have negative energy. It's or who have injuries. It's going to recharge all of those guys. And, you know, if Atlanta wins another game here and forces game seven, you know, we're talking the middle to the end of next week before the final start. The Suns are going to have home court no matter what, Bontemps, and they're going to have such a great rest advantage, which people talk rest versus rust in a lot of years because they don't have anything to talk about in between series. Well, let me tell you something. In 2021, rest is what you want.
Well, and health, yeah. And they've got that too.
Yeah, they're the healthy team and they're the rested team. That's a pretty good combination if you're going into the NBA Finals to be the healthier and more rested team both. And that's no matter who they get, whether the Hawks come back or whether the Bucks close this thing out, they're going to be playing the team that's not as healthy in them and is certainly not as rested as them.
And here's the other thing. Finals. So they've been around since 1968. So what is that? That's 53 years.
Yeah.
This is their best chance they've ever had. It may be the best chance they ever have. This is it. And
what
this is why.
What a storyline with Torrey Craig's revenge series.
Well, this is why it's, you know, maybe the luck,
dude.
The karma, potentially the karma, if the Bucks win one more, the karma on the Lew Alcindor coin flip. you know, this is why, you know, I see people complaining about the injuries and, you know, they start talking about asterisks. It drives me crazy.
It's the dumbest conversation. The absolute dumbest conversation, the asterisk conversation.
Whatever. The rings and trophies are going to be real shiny and expensive, so that's call right. It what you want. If Chris Paul or, you know, whoever wins it, but especially Chris Paul, if he wins this, like, he ain't got to apologize for any sort of, you know, bad luck in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, if you go back through every season in NBA history, you can asterisk each year based off of guys getting hurt or whatever if you want. It's just the dumbest conversation. He has. That's right.
And I love Tom, and Bill Simmons has done the same thing. He wrote in his book of basketball that he wrote, which was like, you know, one of the great anthologies ever written about the game. He goes, you know, basically years the Celtics didn't win it. You know, if you want to be honest, he finds all these reasons why they didn't. But put that aside.
Well, Tom did it sarcastically. Tom's point was that it's silly. That was his point. It was a satirical article.
I know, but I still don't like it because it doesn't because even discussing it irritates me. And so, like, you know, if just in the Suns' history, okay, they lose a coin flip. In 76, they are in the finals against the Celtics and they play a triple overtime game in game five in a 2-2 series and lose. And Paul Silas called the timeout that they didn't have, which is lost history. People don't ever think about it. They only think about Chris Webber. But some people believe that game, which was a triple overtime game in game five of the finals, back when the games were shown on tape delay, is the greatest game in NBA history. They lose that game, and then they lose the series. They have the greatest team they've ever had in 93. Charles Barkley is the top of his game, MVP. They run into Jordan. The Steve Nash era, the one year they're like tearing the league apart. Joe Johnson falls and breaks his bone in his face and is not the same player, and they lose. And then 2 years later, Steve Nash gets checked into the scorer's table. Amari Stoudemire runs up to do it. He gets suspended, and they lose in that year, which is a year that they could have won. They lost to the Spurs, who ended up winning the title. That was a year that whoever was going to get to the finals was going to devastate the Cavs. Ended up being the Spurs and not the Suns, probably because Amari Stoudemire ran up after Robert Horry body-checked Steve Nash. Yep. But you don't look at the Suns and say that they've not had things go against them. So if things go their way, and you said it, McMahon, Chris Paul, I think, has had three different injuries in the playoffs that ended his playoffs during his
career. Plus a couple to Blake.
Right.
Yep.
For sure. So I just...
You win a title, period. The rest of the stuff doesn't matter.
I mean, I feel bad. I mean, like, yes, I feel bad that Anthony Davis got hurt. I feel bad that Jamal Murray wasn't out there. I feel bad that this series didn't include Kawhi Leonard. But, you know, what are you going to do? You know,
it doesn't cheapen the accomplishment. And any discussion of it is stupid.
Yeah. So no
more asterisk stories, or you will get on the bad side of Brian Windhorst, ombudsman.
But seriously, like the other day, I was on Mike Greenberg's radio show.
Name drop.
And I was in a feisty mood because of something else that had happened with somebody who was doing repairs at my house, if you must know. And I was pretty irritated about, you know, that turn of events. And
we must not know, but thanks for sharing.
First world windy. Here we go.
It was a first world problem, but I was pissed off. Okay. And Greeny, I was on his radio show and he brought up this asterisk thing, and I got a little out there on it. And now he wants, I'm doing first take in a few, not first take, but get up in a few hours. He's going to ask me about it again. And I think he's going to expect that I go wild again. I'm not sure that I'm going to be able to, but it does start moving my blood. Because it just something I just don't like. And so I say, Suns fans, enjoy every moment of this and don't listen to anybody who tries to say anything about how this is somehow less than.
Listen, anybody starts talking that stuff, what you do is you grab them right by the neck. If they're wearing a chain, grab that chain, pull down and uppercut a bunch of times.
Suns in four. That was the one karma thing that, by the way, I love that when there then was fights, during the Suns Nuggets series back in Phoenix, they had to put out a statement saying we don't condone fighting.
I know this guy had courtside seats and autographs and everything, but like, it was just one good meme. We don't need another.
It was so insane that they completely embraced that. That was the craziest part of that whole thing. It's like, here's this crazy guy on the internet beating the crap out of some Nuggets fan. Then the next thing you know, he's like you said, he's like getting fed at the games. It's like, what is going on?
In his defense, it was self-defense. The Nuggets fan earned an ass whooping, and he just delivered it. So
he did not.
I understand. It still was an odd move from an NBA team to celebrate some guy getting in a fist fight at an NBA game. That was a weird move.
It was. Also, he wouldn't push that guy.
You know what? You're right about that. Also, tonight in Milwaukee, the Bucks fans went to one of their favorite chants, which was Bucks in six, which dates back to Brandon Jennings, infamously. I was covering the Heat at the time, and the Bucks were playing the Heat in the first round. It might have been a 2-7, maybe it was a 1-8 series. I can't remember what year it was. And Brandon Jennings rather infamously predicted, you know, very loudly that the Bucks would win in six. I mean, you know, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to say, we'll be lucky to take a game. I mean, you may believe that, but you can't say that. But, you know, Bucks in six became like a bit of a thing. And so, doesn't have the same connotation as Suns in four, but, they were enjoying that tonight. All right. Well, we are very close. I'm excited about, guys. I'm excited about there actually not being a game Friday night because I need to get some rest.
You taking wifey out to dinner?
I haven't gotten to that point. I'm going hour to hour at this point. It sounds like you are. Or your fiance?
I'm just making a suggestion.
Yeah, well, I have a 3-year-old, so out to dinner is a relative term. All right. Well, thank you for listening to Hoop Collective Podcast. Thanks to our producer Jackson for staying up late. It's 1:30 Eastern now. thanks to Bontemps, who had to do print work and television work. He had to set up a whole essay for tonight's Sports Centers or tomorrow's Sports Centers. I don't know, but he's, you know, and then came and did this podcast in the middle of the night in Milwaukee. By the way, he forgot to plug his computer in, and midway through this podcast, his computer died, but we're going to give him a pass on that.
He's a multimedia star, not an IT whiz.
Well, I was trying not to make any noise, and clearly I didn't get there fast enough, but no, famous it's always words. Can't miss a pod. Can't miss a pod.
That's right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the Hoop Collective podcast, and we will talk to you next week when we will know who's in the final.
Adios, amigos.
NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.